From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
So we're talking about the cafes as an example. You know, one thing to open your door, another thing to actually be able to do business. What do you reckon these economic implications of two are?
Yeah, so we got the guidance on what level two would look like, or we got some ideas of what it might look like yesterday. And first of all, it's great that we're moving out of the more restrictive environment. But yeah, from a business, from an economic point of view, what are the implications and what does it mean? And the first thing, Mike, is there's just a huge amount of guesswork involved here. But let's run with what we can, Mike. Let's do what we can. Recently, the RBNZ issued an analytical note with a very catchy title, The Economic Impacts of COVID-19 Containment Measures. It only has a limited audience, admittedly. But looking at their estimates, level four was a huge shock to GDP, to growth. I mean, the RBNZ estimated 4.5 weeks at level four equates to $10 billion worth of lost production. So that drops your annual GDP by 3.2%. Now, we went into level four, we went into level four on the 26th of March, didn't we? Now, if we come out next Thursday, that's sort of 7 weeks of heavily restricted activity. Now, if you'd been at the peak sort of level four for that whole time, it would have been, you know, about $15.5 billion hit. Obviously, we were at level three for 2 weeks, so it's somewhere between 10 and 15.5. So that's banked. Okay, that's already in the Caton. Now, the hit to GDP at level two is estimated at 8.8% on an annual basis. Now, compare that to the 37% hit at level four. It's a giant leap forward, but it still has pretty significant economic consequences, Mike. And the key to the outcome here is going to be, will we phase in and how long will those phases last? Because every day is important now in terms of mitigating the economic consequences. Now, key disruptions to the economy at level two are reasonably self-evident. The border closure. Now, that's not just international travellers, remember, that's international students as well. And of course, New Zealanders travelling overseas, I mean, you buy your airfares from Air New Zealand, don't you? You can't do that anymore. So there is a domestic impact as well on that border closure. Now, that's estimated at 4.7% of GDP in the year to the end of March 2019. So that is a significant chunk of the estimated 8.8%. And I saw some interesting comments yesterday from a guy called Nev Power. Now, he heads the Australian National COVID-19 Coordination Committee, and the international students, huge issue for them, $35 billion industry. They're looking at chartering flights, expediting visas, assisting with quarantines. So a lot of effort. If we could put a lot of effort into that here, that could have a big payoff. Domestic travel. Now, that was opening up domestic travel is potentially a really big bonus, a big positive. 4 to 6% of GDP is domestic travel. So by opening it up, you actually negate that potential impact, but it won't be operating at full capacity. Mass gatherings, surprisingly, about 1% of GDP. So they're effectively still banned if you think they're restricted to 100 people. But the unknown for me, Mike, the real unknown, is what's going to be the hit to our mojo.
Confidence.
Yeah, what's going to be the indescribable reluctance to spend, and it's really hard to put a number on that. But I'm trying to hard look for the positives. Mike, I'm trying to hard to say, look, it's better that we're moving to level two. It's good.
Robertson, after 7 o'clock, he's given a speech yesterday, it's all guesswork, isn't it? I mean, what you're going to see next week is just a torrent of money and a whole lot of estimates that may or may not come to pass.
Yeah, we've sort of gone full circle here, haven't we? Remember sort of 20 years ago, we got nothing about the budget, and then we went to where they sort of leaked everything, and now we're back to basically nothing. I went back to some of the Treasury. Treasury released some scenarios back in April, and that contemplated this extra fiscal support to the economy. $20 billion was modelled there, and I think that's a useful signpost. We're going to see that. That does, in their scenarios, makes a big difference to unemployment in terms of 2021 unemployment if they spend that extra $20 billion. So look for that. Look, we've got some more slogans, Mike. Respond, recover, rebuild. We've got the R's. We've got the S's for level two. We've got the R's for the budget. There wasn't a lot in there, really. Really, all we got in terms of specifics was net crown debt to increase to levels well beyond previous targets was 20% of GDP, could be over 50. The key aspects of inspection that I want to look at are the Treasury forecasts, but there actually wasn't a lot of specifics in it. They said they'll continue support to the early hit industries like forestry and tourism, but not a lot of specifics in that speech to the Wellington Chamber of Commerce yesterday.
Numbers, please.
The Dow Jones, they don't care about another 3 million people going for unemployment. Their Dow is up 1.21%, 23,952, up 286 points. The S&P 500, 2890, up 42 points. The NASDAQ, 8986, up 131 points, 1.5%. Back to where it was at the beginning of the year. Unbelievable. FTSE 100, 5935, up 82. The Nikkei, 19674, up 55. Shanghai Composite, down 6, 2871. The ASX 200, lost 20 yesterday, 5364. The NZX 50, we gained 76 points, 0.72%, closing at 10,649. On the currencies, one New Zealand dollar on the wholesale markets will bag you 0.6087 US, 0.9368 Aussie, 0.5621 euro, 0.4919 pounds, 64.68 yen. Gold, $1,718.77. Brent crude, $29.89 US.
Have a great weekend, mate. Appreciate it. From jmiwealth.co.nz, Andrew Callaghan.